Welcome to Tell Me Something Good. Join us every week as we break down trends, share our personal journeys, and explore the world of wellness. It's going to be real, unfiltered, and above all else, we will always give you something good.
I mean, this has been a time for the ages. What an absolute shit show. And it still is not working. I've had to spend an hour of my time with Grandma Jean over here. You haven't even got the microphone near you. What's that? Oh, man.
And I'm just staring at my Alex Earl selfie light now. It's actually hurting my eyes a little bit.
But we're here.
I've never felt as old as I feel right now.
Yeah, that was incredibly frustrating.
And you were like, you know, you were like a son getting frustrated with his mom because she can't figure out technology.
That's really what it felt like. But anyway. What is good? Tell me something good.
My something good is this thing I discovered when I got a manicure this past week. So in my manicure salon, they always have something on the TV, something
manicure
going.
Manicure salon.
I like to call it a manicure salon. And usually it's like a morning show or something. But this time they got spicy. And they were streaming YouTube onto the TV, which I'm impressed. And it was something called Relaxing Village. Relaxing Village. Now, I know there's all sorts of ASMR, like, content on YouTube, but this is new to me. So basically, what this is, it's a channel of this family that lives in Azerbaijan, which is a Slavic country. Couldn't tell you where it is on a map, but Slavic country.
You could have just left it.
You're rubbing your eyes right now.
That
was so over me.
That was
That really
tested our friendship.
And now I'm about to test it further. So it's this channel of this family, and it's basically all about their life in Azerbaijan. But it's so relaxing because, you know, they don't have any modern conveniences. So if they came here, it would be like, you know, aliens. So
except for the high definition camera that they use.
Exactly.
To film.
And tripod and like, yeah, who knows who, right. Somebody's filming. Like, I don't know who that is, but it's basically like your Nana, her daughter, her son-in-law, and then they have two kids and everybody pitches in, but it's mostly the grandmother and she takes you through every step. But like, you know, bread, for example, they're not going to the grocery store and getting bread. Like, they're making everything from scratch. So if there's a recipe that requires bread, they're making it from scratch. And they take you through that whole, you know, process. Their stove, they're not using a gas stove. They're using like a wood burning oven. It's all just very fascinating. And I just find it, there's just something about, I know that there's a lot of modern luxuries that they don't have that I'm sure they would love. But like the simplicity of it is just, oh, by the way, these people, I just ate the mic. these people have 400,000 subscribers.
Like, isn't that wild?
It's wild.
Well, it's what we were saying yesterday. We talked about this yesterday because we do actually sometimes plan what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we were saying how interesting it is that we're so drawn to that simplicity.
Yeah.
It's almost like, wow, have we, you know, and I kind of went off on one of my tangents of just how I feel like we're almost coming full circle now back to wanting simplicity.
Yeah.
You know, especially with AI and not to sound like a boomer. You know, like I feel like
look
I became,
at the pot calling
like
the kettle black. Here we go.
The past hour. But, I think we've almost made it too comfortable, too luxurious for ourselves. We're kind of just drawn to that. Oh, that's so nice just to be able to sit and cook.
And they're like focusing. They're focusing solely.
Yeah.
So if they're making a meal, that is all they're focusing on. They're not looking around, checking notifications.
Yeah.
It's just simply that.
No, and I came across this guy on my IG feed last night, random, you know, when you watch something and then you scroll to the next thing, it was there. This kid who is just living in the woods. He has two dogs. He has a guy who films for him and he makes money from his YouTube and that's it. He eats actually very similar to I, just meat, eggs and berries. And I was just like, wow, like he's so happy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did watch a little bit. You sent me it and I had nothing else to do. So I sat and watched it with you for a few minutes here. And I can see the appeal. It just draws you in.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the kind of thing you do if you're, you know, getting a manicure or you're doing something else with your hands. You know, like, I don't think I would just sit and like, you know, completely give it all of my attention. But it is just like, it really did feel very relaxing when I was watching it. And it's also very slow. Like everything they're doing is just like normal pace.
No rushing.
They're not rushing, which is also like very lovely. But the way my soul was just craving that kind of content, I think was interesting. And I plan to listen.
And there's 399,999 extra people that feel the same way.
I'm not alone.
I'm not sure I'll be subscribing, but you know.
Well, this family too, like that. I mean, they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
They're like, these idiots are, this is like normal for us. We're just like trying to survive.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, a takeaway from it is maybe just try one day a week, just do something slow like that.
Or just
no
watch,
rushing. Don't,
or just watch.
Don't be anywhere. Don't do anything. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm going to make some bread. John's going to come home and be like, what are you doing? Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just let go of every single responsibility that I have and
just
focus on preparing a lovely meal. And when anyone asks me why my kids are not showing up to school or why they're not being picked up, I'm going to say, I have forsaken
they could have
all modern conveniences and I am now living a life where I need to provide sustenance for my family. And that's all I'm focusing on.
Make sure you buy a nice apron.
I will.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the most fun part when I go to Amazon and buy my apron.
All right. So my something good is actually related to what we talked about yesterday. So I'm not going to give too many details away, but I'm going to pause here and say, head to our website. I'm going to put the link in the show notes, TMSG, tell me something good, .show. Head down to the bottom of the homepage and go to the contact form, fill that in. And you'll get an email welcoming you to the waitlist for
Patreon.
We are launching a Patreon. We want to get to know you guys. We're looking at the back end and all of our the stats and everything. We've got like a really nice base of people that thank you very much who've listened to us for 4 years we've been doing this on and off. We want to get to know you guys better. We want to be able to provide you a bit more personal content. You know, we don't really share so much about our personal lives on here.
Yeah.
And just be a bit more loosey-goosey with some of the stuff we say. And ultimately, just allow us to keep growing the platform and growing our reach so we can, you know, even start running ads and things like that without going too deep into our own pocket. So this is we're not trying to make it a moneymaker. It's still going to be, $5 and $10 a month.
Just to
keep things... It costs us more time than it does money, but it's an endeavor. And really the main thing is just being able to get a bit more personal with the people that listen to this, because ultimately we want to help people and bring you positive vibes, hence the name of the show. And we just want to be able to do that on a bigger scale and a bit more intimately. So keep an eye out for that. So go to tmsg.show, head to the bottom, fill out the contact form, and you will get some information on that.
Okay. And is it tmsg.show instead of .com?
Yes. And the original URL that we had for this show, what happened to that? Just curious.
I literally have no idea.
I don't even know where it is now.
I have no idea.
It's probably an auction site somewhere.
I mean, it hurts my brain just to think about where it could be.
Abyss.
It's fine.
Anyway, so... we have been talking about doing this topic for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's finally here.
Yep. We are talking about GLP-1.
Also known
as... the generic name, I guess, for every medication would be Ozempic. But Ozempic, Mounjaro, like Wegovy, this whole category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, interestingly, and we've alluded to it on prior episodes, both of our stances have changed on this. I think we're going to end up being in the same place based on what we've talked about. It's been an interesting journey. I'm glad we didn't do any covering of it since, you know, when we originally thought about it, because it's allowed us to have a bit of space and really think about it. Because it's very easy to be reactionary and be like, well, you know, especially someone like me who likes to go against the grain. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've now had my personal experience of it has grown because of, you know, since we started talking about it, other people that I know have started taking it. So
I realize I do have one person.
Yeah, so I've got a bit more context and some real life, you know, anecdotal evidence about it. So where should we start with this? I mean,
well, I guess the first thing to say is that by this point, it's been out for, you know, many, many months. So like
many, many years. This is the thing.
Well, it was a diabetes drug, but we're really today talking about the usage of this drug for weight loss, which is, you know, relatively new. But we're not going to like educate about what the drug actually is on this show, because at this point you can find tons of information about it. I think maybe what we'll do is, you know, we'll just talk a little bit about personal experience with it, and maybe just sort of how there's two sides of the coin here. I don't know that it's a black and white issue. So I think we were just, you know, wanting to kind of share our perspective on it, because it really is, it is a very interesting topic, as you'll see. It's just not like a surface level thing if you start diving into it.
Yeah. So, and I think the most scientific way we're going to talk about it is it basically is a peptide that signals to your brain that you are not hungry. So it suppresses your appetite. And that is why you end up losing weight, because you just don't
feel full. Yeah.
So there've been some negative side effects as drawbacks from taking it. Things like, and again, these are all anecdotal things. I mean, they've happened, but it's not necessarily a widespread case. You've had people's stomachs having holes in them. There have been links to, increased cases of kidney disease or kidney cancer, some other organ cancers. So there are some downsides to it. And I believe that is a risk of peptides. I've heard Andrew Huberman say, and we were just talking about it, I saw a great kind of takedown of his knowledge of peptides. So I'm saying this with a grain of salt, but when you take peptides, it can also encourage other changes in the body. And in fact, I heard today from one of our listeners, actually, that there have been tales of women who started taking it and got pregnant all of a sudden.
What?
Yeah, they've been like, we're not talking like Jesus and Mary.
We did just have Easter, so.
They weren't able to conceive before, but now can. So there can be knock-on effects in that, but that's not necessarily a bad effect.
No.
So, and the other thing that's just come out is people who've been taking it and their muscle mass has decreased.
Yeah, see, that's, for me, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a reason for that. Well, let's start there.
Yeah.
So bodybuilders have been taking this for years.
This drug?
Like nearly a decade. This was...
Really?
It was FDA approved in 2014. Not that I go by the FDA approval of anything, but it's been around a while. But it was approved for diabetes use. But bodybuilders are actually very on top of all this stuff.
Yeah.
So they've been taking it for years. So you can't say that it causes muscle mass deterioration when you've got bodybuilders taking it.
Yeah.
Right? What happens is people take it and then they don't eat nutritional food. So they lose their muscle mass because their body is basically cannibalizing itself to get energy.
Well, they probably just eat the way they did before.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
So that kind of goes to the broader point of how you take it.
Okay.
And where it sits in the protocol of weight loss.
Yeah. So you feel like if you take it and you eat, if you change your diet.
Yeah. If you eat enough protein and you're lifting weights.
It's not about just eating less.
Yeah. So I guess rather than dancing around it, talking around it, where do you sit with it?
I think it's honestly an individual choice, and admittedly, I have never struggled with my weight in that way. You know, I was probably weigh a little bit too much in college, but like I've definitely never, it's just not my, it's not my body type, no. Admittedly. And so it's hard for me. I'm not going to judge because I've never been in that position, admittedly. And I think that I do believe that metabolically, some people process calories different than others. Yeah. I don't know all the science behind it, but like, there's just no question that some people are going to not metabolize their food and sugar as quickly as others. And I also think that like sometimes, you know, you can try to do everything and it's not working. So I think like, you know, it's an individual choice. I don't judge it. I think if you want to do it, great. I guess that the muscle mass thing concerns me. And then I also would just want to see it paired with, I wish it could just be seen as a tool to like lose the weight while one works on changing their diet, you know, maybe they already have, but, instead, it almost feels like, and I don't want to say it's a crutch because I know that's really triggering for people who need it.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a bummer that you have to be on it forever, that like people, it seems like the few things I've looked at on TikTok or whatever, people that are using it, there seems to be this fear of going off it, which is just a bummer, like that you can't. You know, that you need a medication. And I guess like you could apply this. See, it's, you can tell I'm ambivalent because, you know, you can look at statins and be like, well, you know,
we're going to do an episode on that.
Obesity could be considered in the same category as heart disease. And, you know, you take statins to, you know, people take statins all the time. And it's pretty much understood that once you start statins, like you're not going off.
You're
going
to get cancer.
So why would this be any different?
Yeah. So
I don't know.
I had a feeling we'd end up in the same place. That's where I am. My issue with it is that it speaks to the culture in this country in particular of the sick care industry, otherwise known as the health industry.
Yeah.
Where symptoms are treated rather than the underlying causes.
Yes.
So of course, my camera's running out of battery now because it's been connected for so long. The underlying cause is that you are metabolically dysfunctional and or you have a problem controlling how much you were putting into your body and what you were putting into your body. They're the causes of why you are obese or overweight. But Ozempic is not treating that. It's maybe perhaps treating the portion control because it stops you being hungry.
Yeah, so the person actually... I know, that's where, because I know she's tried so many diets and I said, like, why is this working? And she's like, I have to be honest, my portions were always huge. Right. Like, even when I was eating healthy, I was eating too much. And I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
And now she's just not hungry.
I would counter, you can't eat too much if you're eating healthy, but.
Yeah, like, I'm just, yeah.
So that's my problem with it. It's used as a magic pill, which is not. And it's not even a pill. You inject it. But from the standpoint of it being a tool to help you, like you said, change the behaviors that you have, I think it's great.
Yeah.
And a responsible physician will have you on it. You will be paired with a nutritionist or a dietitian that will help you change your habits, scale you up, ramp you up, and then get you off of it.
Yeah.
That should not be a lifetime of taking it because that's when you're going to start seeing all of the organ issues and things like that. If you're going to be taking it and not changing anything, then you're doing yourself a disservice and it's not what it's intended for.
Yeah, right? I think that's the category that worries me the most. Or like you hear about, you know, women taking it to lose like, you know, to lose 10 pounds before like the vacation. Yeah. Or, like that to me is like... ridiculous. Yeah. That's insane to me.
And I, going back to the, you know, the fact that it suppresses your appetite, the one thing that people don't talk about is if you're eating not because you're hungry, you're eating because it's an emotional thing for you or, you know, or anything like that, you get around it. I know people on it that do that. They get around the feeling of not being hungry. They just eat and they almost become numb to the feeling of appetite.
Or like alcohol. I mean, even though I've heard some people don't even want to, almost suppresses all. Like,
I've heard that too from someone I know that's on it, that it's just less appealing if you feel a bit more, like you just feel full.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, like, I don't like how Oprah's
shilling
for it.
I know, it's disappointing. Because she also, like, she holds stock in it. She holds stock in, it's not Ozempic, but it's one of them. So it's very murky. It's like, I don't know. Like, I obviously did things for her, but I don't know.
Yeah, it shouldn't be looked at any differently, really, than, maybe it's not a good example, but, you know, taking growth hormones or something like that, like, it should be monitored properly by a doctor. I mean, any hormone therapy, I guess, should be monitored properly by a doctor, and it shouldn't be necessarily something that you intend on doing for a long time.
Yeah.
It should just be a part of the protocol of losing weight. It should be getting your exercise correct, getting your nutrition in check.
But I feel like that's not going to be
building, developing habits. Yeah, because it's free to do those things.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have to hire a coach to do it, or a nutritionist or something like that, or a trainer, but it's not making the money that the drug companies are making.
Right.
Right. And it's just now we're falling into the cycle of prolonged use of this is now causing other health issues. Oh, we have the fix for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Take this.
Exactly.
And then there's going to be something
from that.
We're
going to make a new, like the whole muscle deterioration, yeah. Right? They're going to make something for the muscle deterioration. Like, what?
Yeah.
That is not, that's not good.
Yeah. And so you have to, if you're considering taking it, I think it should kind of be the last ditch attempt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And some people really do need that. Yeah. And I respect that. Like,
yeah, I don't judge anyone for doing it. I just worry that you're taking it and then not applying any of the other weight loss things that need to take place for you to actually be healthy. Cause this is not, Ozempic is not going to make you metabolically functional. It's just not.
It's also not going to
address the problem.
Mental health. Like,
no.
You know, a lot of these things come down to like mental health things.
Big time.
It's not going to, you're going to be thin, but like, you're still going to have the same thoughts.
Exactly.
I think we talked about this a little bit, but like, so another issue is that people we didn't have this obesity problem 40, 50 years ago. So why is that? Well, one of the reasons is food supply in the United States, which has drastically, you know, become basically poisoned over the past 40 to 50 years because of these huge companies making money and, you know, fast food and like junk food, that market has increased dramatically over the last 40 to 50 years. And, you know, nothing's being done to address that. Instead, we're just coming up with patches like Ozempic. And you know, I just wish that all the attention that Ozempic and GLP-1s have gotten, I wish could be put back into looking at like the real source of the problem, which is our food supply.
Yeah. And I think that's also the issue, right? Is from the consumer standpoint is, you know, it's much easier for me to inject myself once a week.
100%.
Than to actually really think about what I'm buying and what I'm consuming.
Yeah.
It's a lot more effort to read through all the food labels when you're at the grocery store.
Yeah.
It takes time to get your mindset around that, but that's going to be better for you than taking a drug. It's not a drug, it's a peptide. Peptides are for the most part very good, but you know, it's a pharmaceutical product.
Yeah.
At this point. So it speaks to that larger issue of, like you said, we have a problem with our food supply. There's too much glyphosate everywhere, and then all the seed oils.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there wasn't this epidemic of obesity 30, 40, 50 years ago. Look at the rise of the use of all of those, seed oils and glyphosate. It's a direct correlation.
Yep.
And no one is doing anything about it.
No.
Instead, you know, and listen, we can get all conspiratorial here, but who owns all of those companies? It's the same few. You know, I saw a great, maybe in a TikTok, maybe a YouTube video. all of these companies own themselves.
Yeah.
They all have shares in each other's companies.
Going back through the layers is difficult,
it's
but
quite
it all
scary.
Comes down to, yeah.
So it's really on us as consumers to be educated, because there are options. That's the capitalist market, right? There's always going to be options to be healthy, but it just takes effort. Mm-hmm. And people, unfortunately, aren't willing to make the effort, or they're not free thinking enough to step back and say, why am I being told that?
Yeah.
It's like the food pyramid.
Yeah.
Why are we listening to the government on what we eat when the lobbyists
really
are the ones telling
that?
It's crazy.
It's obscene, that thing.
Yeah.
And I think that there's also the whole anti-diet movement, which is in the past several years, there's been this whole like stigma around dieting and like we're going to be body positive. Guess who's funding a lot of the anti-diet movements?
Mm-hmm.
Big Pharma, big food,
these
companies that make all the junk food because they profit. And it's actually worked out really well because, the campaign has largely, I think, been successful. And it's ironic. It's really a shame because we were sort of moving down the path of this body positive movement. Yeah. Okay. But now we have Ozempic, and I feel like all of that is gone.
it's
just completely gone.
I think the sad thing is it's so good to have like this immediate validation and what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like you change your diet, you start working out, you start sleeping better, but maybe the weight doesn't, it's that instant gratification, that's what I'm looking for. You do all of those things and maybe it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen as quickly as you want it. And now you have something that you can plug into the system and what I'm doing is really working. I'll keep doing it. But the problem is you're plugging it in at the beginning, you're losing the weight, but you're not getting healthy.
Yeah.
And I worry and I predict that you're going to see a lot more cases of people getting sick from taking this because they're already sick. And now you're just reducing your lean muscle mass, which is, as we've talked about before, one of the most important things to have for your health.
Especially with aging. Like if you want to live a long life, like you have to have that muscle mass. You have to. There's something else I was going to say. It's just that, another thing I was going to say is that, like, I really, I'm sure there's people who are like, easy for you to say, like, you have a slender frame, but like, I really like food, but I like, when you go to Europe, you see that they have an entire culture based around meals and like food and ingredients and sharing and like sitting at the table. I love that so much. And I'm scared now that like nobody's going to have an appetite because everybody's going to be on these GLP-1s, there really isn't, we don't have that culture here, which is sad, but it's certainly not going to come with people who don't even want to eat.
No, and that's the thing. You're almost creating.
Like food's not the enemy.
No.
And I will stand by that.
It's not.
And I'm not like, I will stand by that. And I will say, like, I say that not because of privilege. I say that as a fact.
Well, some food is the enemy, but food in general was not.
Good food from the earth that hasn't been, tainted. Yeah, is not.
And that's what people should be spending their money and spending their efforts on. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a health insurance company said, hey, you're sick, you're overweight. Here, instead of paying for this drug, we'll pay for you to get better quality food at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Think about the knock-on effects of that.
Yeah.
But, I forgot. They don't own the farms. They're not going to make money from that.
Right. So they won't do it.
It's really, really sad.
And I know there's a lot of anxiety now about shortages and everything, which A, is worrisome because it means pharma can control the prices. Maybe they may already be price gouging and creating shortages that aren't there. And like that's spiking, people who are on this drug. Well, first of all, there's people who actually need the drug who have diabetes.
Yeah.
But then like that's certainly raising cortisol for people who, you're on it and you're losing weight and then you feel like you have it and there's a shortage. So that's spiking cortisol, which is really not good for your body.
No.
Wouldn't it be great to just have a way to like not have to depend on big pharma to supply this, like, you know, basically fix?
Right.
I don't know. I just...
And I should back up a little bit. If you're plugging it in at the beginning by taking it, and I know of people who this has happened to, if it's going to be that spark that gets you to go to the gym, gets you to eat cleaner, mm-hmm. then fine, that's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's that reliance on it, I think, is the problem. And the expectation that this is going to solve all of my problems. I don't need to do anything else except for take this.
Yeah.
Because you're going to keep yourself sick and make things worse for yourself.
Yep.
And we should put our disclaimer in right here that this is not medical advice. We are not doctors.
No.
You
and neither
consult,
of us are on it, so...
Right,
you know.
And you should consult a practitioner in it. But I would question them, if I was you, how long am I going to be on this?
Yeah.
How are you going to get me up, you know, get my dosage up, and then get myself off of it in a timely manner? Because right. I do not want to be, and I shouldn't be on this forever.
Yeah. And I don't think you want to be doing it just like apparently the whole Bravo, like all the Real Housewives cast, like all of them now do it, but they do it right before the show.
You've got that Zempy face. You can see when people
take it. Yes, you totally can. But they all like want to lose the weight right before the show.
Yeah.
Like that's not.
It really is no different to the whole crash dieting culture.
No, not at all.
You see the people who they yo-yo in their weight.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You're not changing the habits. I can't stress enough how much it's all about habits versus diet.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And it's having a different, just reframing how you look at food.
Yeah. And the person I know on it, it actually has reframed.
Which is
the
great.
Way she looked. Because she's like, you know, I've struggled with my weight my whole life. She's never really known what it feels like to feel sated.
Yeah.
Or eat the correct portions. So this is kind of like a revelation for her.
Which is, and again, that's great because it's a tool for her to feel that way.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, however she continues, she'll be able to.
And she's losing weight at like a not super quickly, like at a very reasonable, you know, rate. Yeah. And I think she's a great example of somebody it's really working for.
Yeah, I love that. I love to hear that.
So it's an interesting, complex issue. Again, you know. Despite what the media seems to you know, give us these days, life is not black and white. All these things are not black and white.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's that risk versus reward. If at some point, it seems like right now, taken appropriately and responsibly, the risk is not as much as the reward at the end.
Yeah.
If that starts swinging, my thought on it will change because that's always how I look at it. What's the risk versus the reward here?
And we don't know yet. I mean, studies
we don't know, but there are some documented bad side effects from taking it for a long period and not changing a lifestyle. So I would not encourage someone to keep taking it. If I'm seeing that they're not doing any of those things, I would recommend they stop taking it and work on that first.
Yeah.
But if you're going to use it as a tool, I don't see a problem with it at this time.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't have said that 4 or 5 months ago when we first started talking about this.
Yeah, I know. My initial thought, because I think both of us are kind of, you know, we're coming from the health coaching perspective. Yeah. So with both of our training, it kind of goes against just on a surface level, it goes against everything.
Yeah.
But then when you start hearing about people taking it and how, you know, it's really working for some people and,
yeah, it's just that magic pill alarm just started going off.
Yeah, but I do think this is different.
I still have my reservations, as I've said, but yeah, I think we both feel that used as a tool and a temporary measure is a good thing.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's our opinion on it.
That's it.
I know you guys have been waiting for it.
Would love to hear... if anyone, any listeners, if you are willing to share with us what your thoughts are, or if you're on it and you know what your experience is, I think it helps us both to understand this. Paolo, especially as, you know, somebody who's actively training people and it's helpful to get, you know, as much information as we can.
Definitely. All right. So remember TMSG.show.
Right.
Contact. Sign up for the waitlist.
Yep. That's a great URL. I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad I got it.
So glad.
Bye.
Bye.